Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And today we are looking at the second part of our discussion on 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. If you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it. And we are turning there to 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 2, or 6 through 10. Again, this is our second part that we started yesterday. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want to remind you yesterday what our summary statement was for this passage. The passage wants to give us a renewed sense of fellowship with God and cleansing from sin. That's why it explains the theological implications of confessing our sin to God when we recognize that we have sinned. And so I want to give you a little reminder of some of the facts that we looked at yesterday. The first truth we saw is that this passage is not explaining how we become a Christian. We made a distinction between two different kinds of forgiveness. One is a legal courtroom type of a forgiveness, and one is a living room relational kind of forgiveness. When we're talking about this passage, we're not talking about how God declares us righteous forever. We're talking about how we continually have fellowship with him, and how when our fellowship is broken, it gets restored. A second truth we saw yesterday was that our sin does affect our fellowship with God. Just because I've trusted Christ as my Savior and I'm under his grace and there's no more condemnation because I'm in Christ doesn't mean that my sin has no effect on communication with God or fellowship with God. When I sin and I'm aware of it and I'm unwilling to address it, it does put a block between me and the Lord when it comes to this issue of fellowship. We saw a third truth yesterday, and that is that our sin is not an insurmountable obstacle with fellowship with God. And even though we are sinners and we continually battle with sin, we still can have fellowship with God. And that's really why these verses are here. It's there to tell us, look, God wants you to have fellowship with him. He wants you to commune with him. And this is how you can do that. So let's go ahead and pick up with the second part of our discussion on 1 John chapter 1. The first truth we'll look at this morning is that the basis of restored fellowship is the cross. Look carefully at what it says in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, it's very important when we come to this passage that people tend to focus on the fact that we need to confess our sin to God. And we're going to talk about what we mean by confession to God. But I want you to understand that the basis for fellowship with God is not confession. It's actually the cross. In fact, to give you a similar illustration, the basis of our salvation is not our faith, it's the cross. Notice carefully what it says in Ephesians 2. It says, it's by grace we are saved through faith. It is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Our faith is the means through which God grants us forgiveness and salvation, but our faith is not the basis. When God looks at us, the basis of our salvation is actually the work of Christ. The fact that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, his righteousness is the objective standard that God looks at. So God declares me righteous and God forgives me, not on the basis of my faith, but on the basis of the work of Christ. In the same way, the basis of our fellowship with God is the cross. The reason that we can have fellowship with God is because Christ died for our sins. The second truth we're going to look at this morning is that our confession of sin is the means through which he restores us to fellowship with God. So the basis of our fellowship is the cross. The means through which God continually restores us to fellowship when fellowship is broken is our confession. Notice what it says in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first question we should ask is, well, what does he mean by confess? What is confession? Well, confession has the idea of saying the same thing that God says about our sin. Confession is basically me acknowledging to God, this is wrong. When I did this, when I thought this, when I said this, that was a sinful act against you. In fact, I'm agreeing with God that what his word says about that issue is true, and I'm acknowledging it. Another aspect to confession is that confession is being made to God with the intention of being restored to fellowship. The reason that I'm confessing to God is because I want to have a renewed fellowship with him. And so confession is about me simply saying, God, here is what I did. I acknowledge my guilt. I take responsibility for it. I want to be restored to fellowship. That's what confession is all about. I want you to realize that confession is not the same thing as repentance. Repentance is where it starts. Repentance has the idea of a thinking change that goes on inside of me. Confession will be the fruit of repentance. So when a person is repentant about their sin, then confession is the acknowledgement of the change that's gone on inside of their heart when it comes to this issue. Another point that I want to make is this. The purpose of confession is not to humiliate someone or to punish someone or to convince someone that I'm now worthy of being forgiven. And I think that there are a lot of Christians that really believe somehow that confession is sort of like, it's the way that I prove that I'm really sorry and that I should be forgiven. Or this is a way that we punish a person who's done wrong, and so we want to publicly humiliate them by making them apologize to people that really had nothing to do with the situation because we want them to be afraid that they won't do this kind of a thing again. Folks, that's not what confession's all about. This is about me. This is about God. This is about me knowing in my mind what is true and me acknowledging it with my lips to God, desiring for him to restore fellowship with me. And so it's very important that we understand confession is the means, not the basis. And by the way, if confession was the basis, then we would be very focused on making sure that when people confess their sin, they do it very humbly, they do it very clearly, they articulate every single detail, they do it publicly. If confession was the basis, then we would be really focused on confession, but it's not, it's the means. A third truth that we find, fellowship is God's constant priority. Folks, God pursues us. When we have sinned against him, he's not withdrawing and saying, I'm going to leave you in isolation, and maybe you come back, maybe you don't. God pursues his children. He is very much involved in our lives. When I've sinned and I'm pushing away from God, he is pursuing me. That's really what chastening is. It's God's loving pursuit of his children. It's God's discipline of his children. It's God's correcting of his children. It's God's teaching of his children. Our fellowship is a very big deal to God. And notice what he says in verse 9. It says, he is faithful. Whenever I'm ready to confess my sin to God, he's there and he's ready to say, okay, I accept that. I want restoration. That's a very important point. A fourth truth that we see, this restored fellowship is not a miscarriage of God's justice. Notice what he says in verse 9. He says, not only is he faithful, but he is just to forgive us our sins. In fact, yesterday we talked about the importance of the gospel. And if there was no gospel, there could be no forgiveness. God is not ignoring justice when he restores fellowship between us and between him. God is not ignoring justice when he forgives a sinner and declares them righteous. There is a basis for that declaration. There is a basis for that restoration of fellowship. God can be just in declaring a sinner righteous because of the basis of the cross and the righteousness of Christ. God can be just in forgiving a Christian who has sinned and restoring them to fellowship because of the cross. I want to remind you that the gospel is the means through which God removes that guilt of sin, and he does this without compromising his justice or his holiness at all. That's why in Romans chapter 8 it says that he condemned sin in the flesh by the cross. Or in Ephesians chapter 2 it says that Jesus is our peace. Romans 5, it says, we're reconciled to God through the death of his son. The basis of our forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration is the cross. Very, very important. God is not throwing his holiness to the side or justice to the side when he forgives us and restores us. There's a fourth and final truth I wanted to mention this morning. There's no limit to the depths of God's forgiveness. In verse 9, he says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing that the believer can do that God will say, well, you crossed the line there, you can no more have fellowship with me. God pursues his children, and the cross stands for every kind of sin imaginable. Just because a person becomes a Christian doesn't mean that they're unable of falling into terrible sins that are very destructive and extremely offensive to God. And this passage reminds us that when the Christian stumbles and the Christian is repentant in heart and recognizes his sin and confesses it to God, seeking restoration, God forgives him and cleanses him and restores him. And it doesn't matter what it is, he does that. Very, very important. So we want to ask the question, how do we practically take these truths and just live them out today in a very practical, simple way? Here's the first thing I jotted down today. Let's remember that the gospel is not only significant because it removes our sin debt, but it's also the basis of our ability to continually walk in fellowship with God. A second truth, let's not view confession as the basis of our forgiveness. Let's remember that the basis of our forgiveness is the cross, not our confession. A third point, let's not use confession as a way to punish or to humiliate other people. In other words, the reason that people confess is not so that we can prove to them that was a really bad thing, don't ever do that again, remember the pain and the humiliation of a public confession. That's not the point of confession here, and we need to remember that. The fourth thing, let's not use confession as a means to convince people that we're worthy of forgiveness. In other words, just like I shouldn't use confession as a tool to basically humiliate a person, I shouldn't use confession as a tool to convince them that now I'm worthy of forgiveness, so now you need to forgive me. The reason that we forgive other people is always going back to the cross. I forgive because I've been forgiven. I forgive because Christ has paid the penalty for that sin. The basis of forgiveness between me and God and me and other people is always the cross of Christ. And lastly, let's joyfully and humbly worship God as we think about the overwhelming weight of the cross. Folks, this passage, more than anything, is about the central nature of the cross to the gospel and to how we live in a healthy way as Christians. If it wasn't for the gospel, we wouldn't be forgiven, and we wouldn't be able to have fellowship with God. And so let's keep these in our minds today as we think about this passage. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. It's been an encouragement to me. It's a super practical passage. We really need to understand these truths. And so this morning, if that's been a blessing to you, I hope that you'll jot a note and say, hey, Pastor, thanks for sharing that. I learned something new today. If it's been a blessing to you, pass it along to somebody else so it can be a blessing to them. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. And I look forward to the next time we'll be together. I also wanted to mention that I'm going to be sending out some emails and some interaction on the current situation we're dealing with reopening of churches. I sent out one of those messages earlier, and I'll be sending out two more during the day. So just keep that in mind and look out for those as we talk about how we can safely reopen our church. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word together this morning. I pray that what has been shared from your word, what we've looked at in the scriptures, will be very helpful and encouraging to your people. Father, help us to understand that you love your children, you want to have fellowship with them, and you have made everything available so that that fellowship can continually be there. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see you this morning. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And Lord willing, we will see you next time. Bye now.